Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. This conversation highlights the importance of art spaces in rural places, shown through the lens of a violinist turned recording engineer turned theater operator. And as a content warning to our audience, this episode features the true story of a person who saw the inside of a cyclops and lived to tell the tale. Please welcome Bethany Lactorine. Bethany, welcome to Art Watch.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we are in the Little Theater Auditorium in New London. Can you tell us about this space?
This theater is, this year, turns 102 years old. So it's been around since 1923. It has had many lives. It was town hall. It was a basketball court / gymnasium. Was a straight-up movie theater for many years, and then became the high school's drama department for a couple decades, if not longer. And just in 2017, it became Little Theater Auditorium when I stepped in to become the director.
Tell us about the work that you do personally.
Personally, oh gosh. I got my start as a musician. I play violin. I went to conservatory, practiced real hard, played in a lot of bands, and then started doing audio engineering for film and TV, which slowly somehow worked its way into scoring for theater and then doing sound design for theater.
Sure. So you talked about going to conservatory. How did you get into the production side of the music world?
I got the carpal tunnel. So that meant no playing for 3 years. And during that time, I had to really rethink, like, what am I doing on this planet? But I had already a lot of education in music, so I thought, I'll try a different instrument. Picked up guitar, started playing in my own band and writing songs, which led me to getting a four-track and trying to figure out how to record stuff. And then it just seemed natural to go to music tech in Minneapolis and learn how to do it right.
Man, that's a really fascinating thing, a three-year period where you physically are unable to work in your primary medium.
Yeah, it was tough. But, I learned to play guitar instead. I got better at piano. Did a lot of recording work just for friends. And learned how to do sound design and edit audio. So it was a good break from like the really focused practice that you have to do when you're a violin player, gigging around and trying to get those kinds of gigs.
So what brought you to New London? How do we get to the Little Theater part of the story?
This theater, believe it or not, was my first theater experience. I grew up going to school in New London, kindergarten, first grade, through grade school, and all the kids in New London ended up coming here at one point or another on a field trip or doing a play for school. So this was my first theater.
So you come full circle.
Full circle.
What would you say are the highlights of your journey, especially here at Little Theater?
Highlights of my journey. You know, I think not being able to play violin for so long opened up a lot of worlds for me. I got to know a lot of people I don't think I would have otherwise. And ended up working in the Czech Republic in Prague for 8 years because of it. Recorded orchestras, did a lot for film and television and doing overdubs. And then it gradually got me back to the theater because it was such a similar world, using the same equipment, having the same kind of skills you would need to score a show or to do sound design, but in a live setting. And somehow that got me on stage. And so when I came back home now 8 years ago and the theater opened up, it And I was wandering around going, well, what do I do with all the things I know and want to keep doing? It seemed like a logical progression to just literally walk into the building and ask.
So from the Czech Republic to a town of about 2,000 people, when you started this work, or had to reinvent some of the work that you do here in Minnesota, who were your first believers?
I came to discover, at this time I was playing violin again, at a more limited capacity. So I was playing with some bands around town off and on, and discovered that New London, Spicer area, has an inordinate number of incredibly talented musicians. I had no idea. It's just not even proportionate to anywhere else I've ever experienced. It doesn't make sense, and it's amazing. So when I started here, September 2019, one of the first things we did was decide we needed an open mic in town. And it would sustain itself because people wanted to play, they wanted to get on stage and get to know each other, because a lot of the people who were playing didn't know each other. So it was a really cool opportunity to know our neighbors and to understand like the lay of the land in a way we hadn't before. And they just kept coming back.
Tell us more about the process of getting the space operable, seeing your vision through. The space is gorgeous. There's a mix of new work and original features. You can really tell that this space has been a lived-in theater for many decades.
Yeah, it really has. I think it's 30 years the schools were doing plays here. It never stopped being active in one capacity or another. It was always really maintained. People love this place. They started a nonprofit called the Crow River Players in 1987, I believe, specifically to make sure the building was maintained. So it never really had a chance to go into disrepair. So lucky me, I step into a building that is ready to go with just a few things here and there that needed help and some fixing and a little bit of equipment upgrading. So we decided, okay, so I started in September 2019, had big plans to do a lot of performances, and 2020 happened, so we had to kind of shut it down.
The whole world changed.
The whole world changed. Yeah. And we decided, what better time to build a bar? And in New London, nobody's serving cocktails. So we said, we need a cocktail bar. So we built a cocktail bar. We tried it out a few times. We had this little funny makeshift thing made out of balsa wood and cut out little circles for a sink. It was so cute. We could pick it up and move it. And people really responded. So we said, yeah, let's build a real one. Get the plumbers, get the electricians, tear a giant hole in that floor, and build the bar. So that's one of the first things we did. We spent some money on audio upgrades so that we could do live streaming, and got some cameras so we could also live stream video. And for a year, 2 years, we live streamed just about everything because that's what we could do.
How did going online help your program's reach?
There were a lot of folks who, because we had to keep our doors closed and we didn't have that grand opening, and the theater had been known as the school's drama department for so long, to let people know that we're doing more than just that now became easier when we started live streaming. So in order to evolve that image for people to understand, look, there's more happening, live streaming helped a lot because it's still there. You can still look at what we're doing.
I mean, that radically transformed what we did at the Arts Initiative. We switched to all virtual right away, and then we've still had some hybrid aspect to everything that we've done. This, you know, podcast is a part of that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that accessibility concept where, you know, making things accessible for one group really helps the whole community.
I did notice, and I hadn't really known much about live streaming before that, but it was also the one way we could get people to send us money without having a live show, and that was so critical at the time. And people did, they donated. We'd have open mics, and we'd see the chat thing on the screen, and people would donate money through the links that we'd throw on the chat. It was really, really handy. It saved us.
Mm-hmm. So you made it through COVID?
Made it.
Thankfully.
Yep.
Thanks for the help of technology and live streaming. What does the future hold for Bethany Lactarine and the Little Theater Auditorium?
Well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. In the past couple years, we started an artist residency program called Small Stages. We've had a number of really amazing artists come through as a result. The first year we did it, we had Steve Ackerman from Heart of the Beast, Puppet and Mask Theater in Minneapolis, come in and turn this whole room into a giant cyclops, which was wild. It was insane. We only had room for 20 people, like right in the middle between the legs of the cyclops. It was super cool.
Wow. So they were in the Heart of the Beast.
They were in the Heart of the Beast.
Wow.
And then the second year we had Dominic Fascio come from Fergus Falls. He's a drag artist, a producer of drag shows, and had him come and do a couple shows for us, which raised some eyebrows to say the least.
Sure. Yeah, the joys of working in small towns.
The joys of working in a small town. Yeah. But what we came to discover was there is a community out there that really needed to feel that there was a space that they could actually just come and hang out and feel comfortable and be themselves. It opened up a lot of doors for us.
For those of us who want to see more of your programming, engage with what you do at Little Theater, where can we find you?
You can go to our website. It's littletheaterauditorium.org. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and TikTok. You can look on YouTube, actually. We have a channel there.
You can also drive to New London, Minnesota, and check out the space. It's
you beautiful. Can do that. Yeah. You can come here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on location, Bethany.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Elijah.
And thank you for listening to ArtWatch. If you enjoyed the show, please write a review, leave a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a small monthly donation. Information on this, links to Bethany's work, future episodes of this show, as well as the video version of this podcast, can be found at artwatch.us. ArtWatch is made in partnership with the Free Warren County Arts Initiative. Located in the heart of Albert Lea, Minnesota's historic district, the FCAI is the go-to nonprofit for pioneering new shows and artistic concepts. This program was also made possible with generous support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council, and Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services. ArtWatch is a production of Inkfish Design Studio, executive producer Elisha Marin. Coming soon to the show, we have the story of Zach Miller, a genius musician, educator, and author. And stay tuned, I have some very exciting news I cannot wait to share. Hope you'll join us again on our next episode. But till then, take care.